41. You lost it all and then away you run. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too. You're sitting down wondering what it's all about. You ain't got no money, they will put you out. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Just get out of here and get me some money too. Years ago, you wouldn't be wandering now from door to door. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Like some other men do. Like some other men do. Ah.
It's WHFR Dearborn. WHFR.FM, the station making waves. Happy Thanksgiving weekend. It's now time for our public affairs show, the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. We are going to be featuring a couple of the opinions of Jim Hightower, those little two-minute segments that we run every week, and one got was so anxious to get played at the little beginning of his cute little theme music there. But we'll do that later, okay? I have in the studio with me today two of our WHFR news team members, reporter Amy Powers and our news director, Dennis Reimars. So how are you folks doing on this holiday weekend? This is mic check time.
I'm full, Jay. How are you?
Uh-huh. I ate food.
And I'm just fine.
Okay. And I think that's the mic that nobody's on. Dennis, say something again.
Something again.
Very good. Okay. We are connected. That this is the only station where you can hear the pages turning on the air. The only local news station. Besides the pages, it's the only station where you can actually hear the microphones being adjusted, too. And we hope you're having a great Thanksgiving holiday weekend. And if you're not in town, you can't hear us unless it's on the internet. Remember, WHFR.FM, anytime or any day, you can go there and listen to Journal. That's the show, the new WHFR Journal. Oh, well, where to start? Any comments about Black Friday? I have something about Buy Nothing Day. Amy, Dennis, you were out at 5 a.m. anywhere?
No, 4.
Oh, jeez.
5? Who's slacking?
Yeah.
No, my wife did try to get us out the door at 4 a.m.
Really?
Yes. And then she thought better of it. Actually, there was one thing in particular that she wanted, and she thought she could only get it between 5 and 11 at a particular store.
Mm.
And we talked about it a little bit. And then we decided, no, we're not going to do this. We're going to not buy anything today. And we found out we can get it tomorrow. So
there you go. Yeah.
At same price.
So. A lot of the big discounts this morning were for products that are, past their prime. In other words, they're discontinued models or they're a couple years old. And, for example, if you didn't have a digital still camera, well, some of those 6-megapixel cameras probably are going for like $20 now. I mean, and
it's true.
You know, it's not the current state of the art, but it was still pretty good. And so you don't want to say those people are making a bad purchase, but it's a little crazy. It is a protest that was organized by the Media Foundation in British Columbia, in Vancouver, British Columbia, in Canada, and internationally, it's called Buy Nothing Day. Now, it's interesting that in the U.S., it's today, Friday, and other places like Canada and around the world, it's tomorrow, Saturday. It's just that our biggest shopping day is the day after Thanksgiving, but understand that I think Canada has Thanksgiving earlier in the year.
October.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know the exact date?
So,
is it the same every year? I'm going to say 10th.
Really?
Into the mic there, Mike.
Sorry.
Okay. What you
well,
need?
It's October. I'm not sure of the date.
Okay.
But it is October.
So anyway, it's because of our Thanksgiving and then our shopping on the day after that that our day is a little different than it is around the world. But nonetheless, some of these advocates who want to make a point to corporate America and to other people, too, about mindless shopping for its own sake. Now, I think that's probably pretty well mediated this year by the economic crisis in the U.S. and people not having as much money, although it's fun to get up and go to those sales. I saw that Fairlane Town Center, which is going to open, I think it was 7 a.m. this morning, which is late, you know, so the people that got up at 4, they got their shopping done, they can wind up at Fairlane at 7. They were going to give breakfast. I don't know what they mean by that, a donut or something, to the first 1,000 people at 7 a.m., to the first 1,000. I don't know which door you have to go in to get that, but maybe it's a central area, but probably just donuts and coffee or something.
Right, continental breakfast, maybe some juice.
Maybe.
Yeah.
A little juice, and then they get your juice.
Continental breakfast sounds so fancy, doesn't it? And it's usually a croissant and juice.
Continental breakfast. Yeah, it's usually nothing. It's not enough for
it doesn't
me.
Know, no, me either.
You're still hungry afterwards. But and that's the first time they tried that. In fact, I don't even think they were open early in past years at Fairlane. But, well, I just wanted to mention that the festival, this Buy Nothing Day, happens to also go along with a general protest against, corporate operations that control our food supply and are doing things that are not good for the planet. And just a few comments here from the Buy Nothing people in Canada. We hope to set off a chain reaction and refusal against consumer capitalism. So they want legally binding limits on carbon emissions because that's where President Obama is now in the other countries. And so they think that this wildcat general strike, which they're calling for today, a worldwide rejection of the value system that is killing our planet, the value system. For those people that don't have any values, then maybe you should think about getting some. And we recommend things that are good for people and good for our continued life on this planet, good for the animals, too. I'm an animal person. In any event, maybe you don't believe in that or don't understand it. If not, go to their website. You can just Google Buy Nothing Day if you want to. Amy, you had a comment?
Well, just on a humorous note, I was just sort of introduced to Reverend Billy. Are you familiar with him?
Absolutely. Reverend Billy Talon in New York City.
Yes. Yeah, and I guess he started his day this morning at Macy's at 5 a.m. with a group of people protesting or maybe just trying to educate. A few folks out there at lining up early to do their day after Thanksgiving shopping, but his
latest book is called "What Would Jesus Buy?"
I saw a little clip from that.
Yeah, "What Would Jesus Buy?" And of course, there's also a documentary film that was made of him, and I haven't seen it distributed, but it was made a couple of years ago. I saw it at a festival about how he goes around and how he does have this persona of being a reverend.
Right,
he's really a stand-up comedian who is criticizing mass consumerism and bad values. But in fact,
from
the pulpit, he has a church in New York. Anybody can have a church building, you know, and they do have sermons and they sing songs. I've heard this gospel choir singing, but it's all songs they've written themselves against rampant consumerism and the lack of appropriate values. I also want to mention, so if you want to find out more about Reverend Billy, he does a reverendbilly.com website, but it's also the book, What Would Jesus Buy?, which is right along with what we're just talking about here. And also, he's running for mayor. He got petitions signed. He's running for mayor. Oh, he was running for mayor in New York. He lost, I guess. Okay. Sorry, Bloomberg won, but he only spent $17 million to win, you know, of his own money. So go ahead. What else did you know about? He was just at Macy's at 5 a.m., and he was, of course, performing and complaining.
Yeah, and I just, he's, I guess, a performance artist, you know, a comedian.
Yes.
But I found him very... very funny, gets his message across, but you know, there was this back and forth interview he was doing with like a sort of a Fox anchor, and in his little scheme as a reverend, you know, going on about the ills of our consumerism. So.
Yeah, in the documentary, and it's happened to him elsewhere too. He's gone around the country, usually at holiday times, which is the big shopping times, and he's you know, gotten arrested. I mean, I think they ought to promote his visits, and you know, because even though
that is a way to promote him.
Yeah, it is. It is the way to promote him when he gets there. He's gotten arrested at Walmart World Headquarters, at the Mall of America in Minnesota, and all the big stores have arrested him, and they have a lookout. Okay, Reverend Billy's coming. And what they have to do now is usually, I don't know if they're still arresting him, because it does give more publicity.
Sure.
I mean, why not just let him do the entertainment, have his gospel choir sing, and everybody's entertained, they go back to their shopping.
Right.
You know, because nobody listens to the lyrics and songs, really, you know. And he's a great performer, and but he does make a point. I think some people might understand the satire of what he's doing and get the actually very good point beneath it. And by the way, he's got a very supportive wife, because he got a difficult, challenging life, especially when he gets sent to jail so many times overnight. The documentary actually showed him out of character, and he's a very low-key kind of person.
Does he still have the big... poofy hair?
Not out of character.
Okay.
No, they got to hairstyle him and dye his hair, and he's got to hype himself up so he can be Reverend Billy. He's very serious, and it's a wonderful support. In fact, all those people in his gospel choir, they're part of the church. They were formerly homeless people in New York City that he's given a place to live and a little bit of income by the proceeds of his operation. And it's really, I get his emails every week too. It's just wonderful. So he didn't get arrested this morning at Macy's?
Not that I've heard,
okay.
But I didn't check on that either.
This is Reverend Billy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So good day to him.
Yeah, and hope that if you buy stuff, folks, you buy things that are, as we said in past weeks here, local, produced locally, or at least bought at local stores, not chain stores, because that'll help the economy a lot more here in the U.S., and maybe buy green, buy things that are consumable, like food. Food is a great gift. I mean, just done with Thanksgiving, food is a great gift. Maybe healthy food, too. It doesn't have to be beer, wine, liquor, and candy exclusively, you know.
But we're not knocking those either. I'm not.
Dennis is thinking about his next unhealthy food.
Yeah, what do I have in my pocket?
Uh-oh.
I want to interject something if I could, because this is the day after Thanksgiving, and I took it upon myself to find out various facts about this great holiday. And on the history.com website, I found this great page called How Much Do You Really Know About Thanksgiving? And this particular one is very relevant to what we were just talking about. Fact or fiction,
Thanksgiving. Give us a couple.
Well, here, this is very important. Fact or fiction, Thanksgiving is held on the final Thursday of November each year. Guys? Okay, I'll answer
it. I'm with you.
It's fiction. In 1863, President Abraham Lincoln designated the last Thursday of November as a national holiday of Thanksgiving. However, in 1939, after a request from the National Retail Dry Goods Association, President Franklin Roosevelt decreed that the holiday should always be celebrated on the fourth Thursday of the month, never the occasional fifth, in order to, you guessed it, extend the holiday shopping season by a week.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to America.
All right.
How do you
feel
about that? And then it went back to Lincoln's way, and then it changed back, so now it's the fourth. And even if there's a fifth Thursday, it'll still be on the fourth because of that.
Oh, that's good to know. I've got to plan ahead.
Because it's rarely on the calendar.
When we talked about facts, I don't think that's what we had in mind. But there's a lot of good facts.
Well,
disperse
here's later. Here's one that we can do some critical thinking about, because it can't be true. But this company, the Dole company, D-O-L-E, Dole Fresh Vegetables.
Pineapple, right?
Subsidiary of the Dole Food Company. Okay. We always think of them as pineapple, but they are the world's largest producer of fresh, they say, fresh fruits and vegetables.
Okay.
They did an 18-month exhaustive research effort. Exhaustive. These are their words. It's their PR.
That's a year and a half.
Press relief.
Yeah.
A year and a half. To find out which cities in the United States consume the most salad. Now, it's interesting. I didn't have a salad yesterday at my Thanksgiving dinner. People didn't even think about salad.
No, I was told not to bring a salad, as a matter of fact.
Oh, geez.
I made one just so everybody could throw it on the floor and walk on it.
Well, research says, from Dole, that Detroit is the top U.S. market in per capita salad consumption.
Thank goodness.
But that could
we
be,
need some
we're
little...
We're number one in something.
But that could be six. You know what I mean?
Well, you would think that, you know, the statewide obesity problem, Michigan is number one in obesity,
sure.
Overweight people in the whole state, and more people live in the Detroit area, that salad shouldn't be the number one. Now, the only thing I'm trying to do critical thinking on this, and so, you know, they don't tell their methodology.
No.
18 months, what did they see how many heads of lettuce were sold?
Probably.
Or how many bottles of salad dressing, or just their own Dole products. You know, Dole now is packaging salad bags,
oh, right.
which a lot of people buy. It's all, mm-hmm. the leaves are all separate.
Sure.
And in order to keep them fresh, they usually insert nitrogen gas in the bags. So don't inhale them, folks. Because oxygen would make them wilt mm-hmm. in the bag more often. And, of course, they charge 10 times the amount of what it would cost you to buy the fresh stuff. But I saw people buying a bunch of it yesterday. And, of course, yesterday, Thanksgiving, they were going to use it the same day. So it saved them some prep time probably. But so I don't know how they did. Exhaustive. 18 months. But in any event, it was marketing research, too, because they're relaunching their reinvented Dole Salads line. So they had to survey in-store buying habits and in-home consumption trends of prepackaged salad consumers. So we're number one in prepackaged, apparently.
We've just taken it down a notch.
Yeah,
right.
They weren't out at the farmer's market seeing people buy local.
And the thing, folks, keep in mind, the reason a salad might be considered unhealthy is when you get the prepackaged salad dressings and you just pour it on,
mm-hmm.
okay? There's fat in there. There's sugar in there. It's not so healthy when you do that. I mean, I know a lot of people think I'm weird, but I would just use, I happen to like vinegar, the taste of vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
And
red
like
wine, sure.
Red wine vinegar, not just apple vinegar or the plain white has no taste or smell particularly. It has a taste. It's bitter. But, you know, and that has like no calories and it does add a little zing, but you got to get into it. And then pepper.
Sure.
Pepper is healthy, right?
You know what an excellent salad dressing is salsa. Just if you take mild to medium salsa, mm-hmm. put in your salad mix in, it's absolutely wonderful.
Some of it can be fairly healthy. Some of it has a lot of sugar and salt.
But, right. And like anything, you have to be careful.
Yeah.
Buy local or make your own.
Well, we make our own salsa. It's very easy with a few food processor. But, you know, there's a great, and it's a commercial in it, so it doesn't really matter who the company was. But they talked about salads, and taco salads aren't healthy. And I'll let you think about that.
We're going to go immediately to Jim Hightower. He's got two comments about food, and his first one is America's Good Food Movement. And we'll be back right after that with more of the new WHFR Journal, WHFR.fm, the station making ways. Happy Thanksgiving weekend, everybody.
What better day than Thanksgiving to celebrate our country's food rebels? I'm talking about the growing movement of small farmers, food artisans, local retailers, co-ops, community organizers, restaurateurs, environmentalists, consumers, and others, perhaps including you. This movement has spread the rich ideas of sustainability, organic, local economies, and the common good from the fringe of our food economy into the mainstream. It began as an upchuck rebellion. Ordinary folks rejecting the industrialized, chemicalized, corporatized, and globalized food system. Farmers wanted a more natural connection to the good earth that they were working. Meanwhile, consumers began seeking edibles that were not saturated with pesticides, injected with antibiotics, ripened with chemicals, dosed with artificial flavorings, and otherwise tortured. These two interests began to find each other and to create an alternative way of thinking about food. Today, more than 8,000 organic farmers produce everything from wheat to meat, and organic sales top $20 billion a year. Some 4,000 vibrant farmers markets operate in practically every city and town across the land, linking farmers and food makers directly to consumers in a local supportive economy. Restaurants, supermarkets, food wholesalers, and school districts are now buying foodstuffs that are produced sustainably and locally. No one in a position of power, corporate or governmental, made any of these changes happen. Instead, the movement percolated up from the grassroots, and it has become a groundswell as ordinary people inform themselves, organize locally, and assert their own democratic values over those of the corporate structure. This is Jim Hightower saying, family by family, town by town, this movement has changed not only the market, but also the culture of food. And that's a change worthy of all of our thanks.
Today's commentary is underwritten by Wiley & Sons, publisher of Hightower's new book titled Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow, now available wherever books are sold.
Henry Ford Community College presents the Charles Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol, November 13th through December 6th. Performances are Fridays at 7 p.m., Saturdays at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m., and Sunday matinees at 2 p.m. Tickets are only $12 for adults, $10 for students, and $5 for children 12 and under. Please call 313-845-9817 for reservations or further information. All performances will be held in the Adre Auditorium at HFCC's Dearborn Campus. Call 313-845-9817 for A Christmas Carol, November 13th through December 6th.
A Christmas Carol at Henry Ford Community College Adre Auditorium. Not this weekend. Okay, not this weekend. They're having time off for good behavior. Next weekend will be the last weekend of performances. So be sure to attend that. I guess as a segue, I have to say, is that any good? I mean, already I mentioned a couple weeks ago, and we knew it was just beginning, how special live theater is, even compared to like the 3D movie that's out there, I guess, still. Great review of HFCC's A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens from Sue Suchita in the Times Herald this week. Okay. And she says, from the enthusiastic cast to Alex Carr's impressive and versatile set to Judith Fletcher Dickinson's inspired costumes, you'll enjoy the stage magic that takes audiences back in time to an England that looks like a Courier and Ives Christmas card. And it's only an hour long. Okay, it's a great experience. A lot of great performers. There's a marvelous Ebenezer Scrooge. Even technical director Jerry Jablinski. He's sort of started a tradition now. He used to just do parts whenever somebody couldn't make it to the show, since he knew all the parts. And it says this tradition began by default. And now, on a regular basis, he's playing a fascinating supporting character in every play. And this time, he's Jacob Marley, the tortured ghost of Scrooge's former business partner, a man trapped in a self-made purgatory of pain and regret. So it says the ensemble is versatile, according to Sue at the Times Herald, keeps the pace of the show brisk. The set's exciting. And we just want to mention the performances are 7 p.m. Next Friday, 2 and 7 Saturday, and 2 p.m. only for the final performance next Sunday, December 6. Tickets are $12 with $10 admission for students with ID. That could be high school students too, I guess, with ID. Tickets for children under 12 and under are $5. And they're $5 each when purchasing a block of 10 or more. More information, call 313-845-9817. You can even reserve tickets that way for one of the upcoming performances. Take the whole family. It's really going to be fun for all. And don't have to believe yours truly here. Take it from Sue Suchita at the Times Herald. A great review, and sure, it's a great performance. Try to catch it on its last weekend, next weekend. It's not this weekend. Remember, if you hear this spot played again. It's next weekend is the last one. Again, 7 p.m. Fridays, 2 and 7 Saturdays, 2 p.m. Sundays, Adrie Auditorium in our Fine Arts Center here on the main campus of Henry Ford Community College. There's some other events in town we'll talk about a little later in the show. We're going to get into so-called hard news. In the headlines at the Press and Guide from Wednesday, 2 days ago, community rails. We talked about that train station before, didn't we? Oh, no, no. This is railing against something, folks. When you're complaining, when you're... It's more than whining. You're railing against it. You're active, vocal, noise-making complaint. We understand it was covered on WDIV. They had TV cameras there for a couple of hours. I think they edited down to 30 seconds. But for a couple of hours, apparently, people were at the Board of Ed movie meeting and complaining about all the cuts, both parents and, of course, the people employed by the district who were also having their pay cut. Just a couple of follow-ups. We knew this was coming. We mentioned on the show, but in the details here of the story, and always read the details. Remember, the devil is in the details. No, I've heard it the other flip-flop. God is in the details. That you really know what's happening. You have the complete truth when you read, well, more details rather than fewer. I think I'm beeping. Oh, well. Yeah. Not during the show. After hours of comments, the board went ahead, though, and they approved a new contract with the operating engineers. Those are the people controlling the heating cooling systems, okay? And these people agreed to pay cuts and other concessions to protect their jobs. I think we already mentioned that administrators, or was it Board of Trustees members, somebody agreed to pay cuts at their level, too. The district, now this is a great one, though. The district will also offer an early retirement package to teachers. So rather than being fired... or if you're at the top, if you have at least 10 years of service, they're going to give you a bonus of $25,000 over 5 years. So that's $125,000. Oh, no. Maybe it's an extra $25,000 a year.
$5,000 a year.
Okay. Why can't I hear Amy?
$5,000 a year.
Oh, I don't have your mic on. That's why. Turn the mic on, Cornick. Okay. $5,000 a year. Okay. That's not that much. Okay.
Amy's here? Oh. And see you.
How many times do I have to say $5,000 a year?
One more.
That's Amy. Right.
Because I like the $125,000 sounded better.
Well, you know, I'm wondering. It seems like kind of futile when the folks are going down to you know, protest the Board of Education. What can they do? The cuts are coming from Lansing, but I think it gives them a chance to voice concern about what cuts are being made. Yeah. I mean,
and Lansing,
you know,
Lansing knows about the. And I happen to be going by. The Tenneck on Monday, and the people were out there, and WDIV was out there. And these weren't people just rabble. No, they were speaking intelligently with and they were, you know, protesting and with chants also, but it was a lot of intelligent conversation and questions and things like that. And it caught my attention. And I think Lansing sees that, hears that. And I think that that's what's important.
I hope so.
Well, I mean, doing nothing's not better. I think we can agree on that.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I think it gives people some sense of confidence that they have some role in the process.
And again, as long as it's handled peaceably and intelligently. Mm-hmm. And so far it has been. It's been a good thing. And this isn't the end of it, Amy, I don't think. I'll let you know I walk my dog every night.
So all right. Right. You'll be up on all the latest.
I would.
We have a beeping in the studio, but it's not me, folks.
It's not me.
Oh, my phone is dead. It's telling me the battery's dead. Okay.
So your phone it is me. Beeps to tell you it's not going to beep anymore.
That's right.
I love that feature.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a slight incentive if you're ready to accept a buyout and you've already got some pension money saved up. It's interesting that they wanted to lay off a number of employees on December 1st. But because they couldn't complete the necessary paperwork and planning in time to present the list of terminated employees at Monday's meeting, the layoffs will not happen until it gets approved. So maybe they get an extra 2 months, which is caused by administrative incompetence.
Yeah.
I think it's nice that they're not laid off before Christmas.
Which
I
they mean, weren't going to be anyway.
Know, yeah.
Correct?
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because that was a question I had. I said, how can they do this? It's already bad enough that it's during the year, but now they're going to wait till at least there's a natural break in the school year.
Right, right. And now the teachers are going to be cut by February 1st.
But Wiston did say that if the unions representing the teachers and non-instructional staff agree to the same concessions as the Engineers Association members, would also be protected from job cuts. I don't think that's every job cut. Right? It's just it would keep more jobs.
Well, for example, the early retirement package, if a lot of teachers take that with the extra $25,000 over 5 years, which doesn't seem like an awful lot. They've had a lot bigger buyouts for public school teachers and college teachers in the last couple of years.
Right.
But if enough people take that, then more teachers will be able to stay who are, right now on the list to be cut.
Right.
Okay. Well, so we wish them well. We hope the state does something, but it's a rock and a hard place. Most of the district monies, it's true in most areas, about 80% of staff salaries. And don't give me this thing that Tom Watson started. He's a columnist in the Press and Guide, not for them, but they run his columns of, the teachers are rich. They're paid fourth best in the whole country, so they should give back some money.
That the article that a freeze is not really a freeze? The editorial,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah.
That was really interesting.
Well, it's true. It's, I guess it's sneaky, but you're given, you might say, extra cash every year, additional cash, just for surviving. Battle pay or something. And that's called step pay. You get to another step, and the next step is actually a couple $100 more. So even if they freeze the wages, they do not have a percent of increase, the step is still there, okay, from the contract that you were under before.
Right.
So you could always expect maybe $300 to $500 or $600 more each year, but that's over the year, so it's only like $30-$40 a month. But so even if it's a freeze, you get 0%, teachers do get these little step increases for an extra year of service. Well, that's just always the way it is, but it's true that the average person doesn't know it's happening. But if you figure out as a percentage increase, it's like a fraction of 1%.
Right.
I mean, a small fraction of 1%. So I don't think the step increase is sort of like an extra seniority, but it's automatic. It's true. So I've never heard of the steps being frozen.
But
except in front of my house in January.
Yeah, if they took every one of those steps away from everybody, it still wouldn't save jobs. What you're saying, it's that small.
No,
of an amount.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, so a cost of living increase would be more along the lines of something that would keep up with
inflation.
And that doesn't do it.
No. Well, no. And,
okay.
It's an argument too. How many administrators do you need? How many staff people do you need? If we had time, we'd talk about Tom Watkins actually has two editorials, count them, one in the Sunday Press and Guide from last Sunday and one in Wednesday's. And Wednesday, he mentioned school vouchers, where people can spend that money on any school they want to send the kids to, charter schools, Montessori schools, or public schools. And that it would be a set amount and they could use it anywhere they want to. Of course, public teachers say this will be the end of public education. Of course, if they can't compete and they've got the big system, what does that say about public education? Now, I'm a big supporter of public education. I think everybody should be guaranteed a free education. Free, okay. I don't even believe in this funding thing of property tax and all that. Just do a fair tax and just pay for it all the basic services out of that, as far as I'm concerned. But I'm radical. I like to simplify things, too,
It is radical.
But, I mean, if you're homeless, shouldn't your homeless kids have a chance to go to school? I think so, anyway. Okay. So we'll move on from that story and we'll follow it. We're still trying to get in touch with the Senate Majority Leader in Michigan, Senator Bishop, or his PR minions, to respond to Andy Dillon's comments. And of course, it's a holiday weekend, but we'll see if something happens in Lansing.
For some, it's
this
a holiday week.
Yes.
Starts, Sunday, continues on through last Sunday. We'll
I thought
continue
through,
on.
Through Christmas,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well.
It's a month.
Okay, Dennis, group protest outside Andiamo's in West Dearborn, restaurant there. Sum it up for us.
Well, it's on Michigan Avenue, as you know, Andiamo Dearborn, and they're facing allegations of discrimination and wage violations. And these allegations were made against the restaurant by a group of current and former employees. So we have, on the one hand, the workers are seeking $125,000 in damages for alleged minimum wage violations, unpaid overtime, blah, blah, blah. A lot of things going on, and they say it's discrimination based on gender, race, and national origin. And on the other hand, you have Andiamo saying, wait a minute, Andiamo is just being tarted because it is Andiamo, one of the best known and well-respected restaurants in Michigan. So there's the summary. I think that it's really important to note that of the seven people allegedly named, two have not worked there for 2 years. One worked there for 47 and a half hours. One has been employed for only about 2 months, and another one was terminated after admitting to stealing time. I think that's relevant. Thoughts?
Yeah, and they called, well, they called the PR people from Andiamo's. I think Kernan's would dispute who the best restaurant in Dearborn is or in the state of Michigan, but come on, Andiamo's.
Best known. Yeah, you're right.
Well, Andiamo's, don't they have a restaurant, another
downtown,
location in Royal Oak?
Shores, I think they Royal might have, Oak, they
yes,
have like six.
They have a few locations. Mm-hmm.
But, hey, folks, yours truly says, my opinion, and all the opinions expressed on this show, remember, are not necessarily those of Henry Ford Community College or anyone else connected with the college, including the Board of Trustees. Too expensive for me. I don't eat there, you know, even on special occasions. Too expensive. Because they get so much money for the food, which, you know, Leon's and other places can give away for free, I really think they could pay their workers better. Now, Dennis knows some people there, and I know some people, and we have different opinions of how they treat their workers. The people that I know say that they treat their workers very badly, and I specifically know how little they get paid. And I think all waitresses, though, across Michigan are paid too little. I know. They get all those tips. They get tips. You know, what if you're not so cute or pretty, but you're a good person at bringing food to the table? You know, they can't get you a discount on the food after all. Shouldn't the people who are wait persons who are not so pretty or not are not so handsome and not so short? Did you know that short wait persons get more money?
No.
Well, I'm not.
Yeah, because,
I do know.
Because they're face high with you as you're seated at the table. They can make more personal contact. I didn't know this, but tall weight persons make less money because they're further away up there.
I'm 6 foot two. I'm not even close to pretty, and I supported a family of four for 10 years on waiter's wages.
Well,
believe
good for
me,
you.
It's a lot of money. You can make a lot of money if you know what you're doing.
And so why aren't you doing it now, Dennis?
Because I'm having more fun as a student at Henry Ford.
Oh, he loves to be bringing in no income. He really
and
does.
Well, now you're assuming a lot.
Satire, it's probably also less stressful because waitressing, waiter is one of the most stressful jobs you can have.
Well, stressful physically, too, and lifting.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And I do have income. I don't have zero income.
But good for you.
But well, you just said you'd prefer not having income.
Well, WHFR is not contributing because we're cheap here. We're volunteers. But
no.
When did that happen?
You're not the only one not getting paid. But no, I think it's important to know that you said it's too expensive for you, yet I know you can afford $9.99. You know, Andiamo. Andiamo restaurant. I mean, they have a lot of things. They're not. It's just a lot of the things that you said aren't entirely accurate. And I just think that the people here. I drove by and I saw these people chanting and arguing and everything based on allegations of seven people that collectively worked there for less than 6 months.
But that's also alleged. I mean, that isn't necessarily
with their records.
Fact. Yeah.
Really? Okay.
What's put out initially is just to defer. The negative attention
I would
away
think
from
that,
Andiamo's.
That Andiamo would immediately give their attorney all the paperwork associated with these seven people and make it accurate, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, you might assume.
Okay, well, we'll find out more, and that's a really good point, one that I hadn't taken into consideration.
Remember, as we said on shows in the past, if things are going to go to court, and I think they should. I mean, there are laws about the proper way to treat your workers in Michigan,
right?
And proper procedures for hiring and firing, and if they're not being followed, somebody's got to start a suit and have the court look into it. And I'm all for that. And of course we can say, yeah, we know some people that love the Andiamo's and work there, and other people like myself, I have one person only, and I admit that, but I have one person who is still working there because they would not have a job anywhere. Because they can't find anyone else in terms of restaurant work. I mean, restaurant and bar work is, it's hard to find positions these days. And this person has 25 years of experience?
Okay. It to me, kind of typifies the relationship that's going on across the board in work relationships. You should be happy you've got a job. Stop complaining. Stop expecting, treatment above and beyond the pale. And just be happy you've got a job.
Or on the other side of the coin.
That's the employer's point of view.
That's the employer's. And then on the other side of the coin, you're going to have people that I worked with that had it made who didn't realize it and complained no matter what the circumstances were.
I agree with that. That are never happy.
That's why this should go to court. I agree with you.
Yeah, it has to be worked out. And we don't want to jump to conclusions.
No.
or contusions, as I often say, about Andiamo's situation. Although I know there are people on both sides that actually work there that we know of here on the staff, and you know, there's some issues there that Andiamo's needs to work out with their workers, or it looks like it may go to court, and that's the right way if they can't, you know. Whether it's one person or seven people or a dozen people, you know, a lot of people, like this one person I know, if they don't want to complain, they don't want to be part of the lawsuit because they're afraid they'll lose their job. Since there is no union and you complain, you're a whistleblower or whatever, and Amy said that Michigan has some whistleblower laws. We may. I don't know how strong they are in Michigan, but, you know, you shouldn't be fired because you have to file a lawsuit to prevent discrimination or exploitation in that situation. But short term, I think they can do that. They can lay you off. They can say, well, we just don't need your help anymore.
No cause.
Yeah.
That's right.
And these, in a difficult economic time, we know that restaurants, even Andiamo's business, is probably not what it used to be. Although, if you're going for the hoi polloi, the people at the top, you know, they're not suffering. The banks are doing just fine again, thank you to the U.S. government. But the average person is not doing so well yet. And unemployment is increasing in Michigan. And we do have, again, besides the obesity thing, we have to eat away our frustrations. We also have the highest unemployment rate of any state in the United States. And it's increasing. Hopefully less each month, but it's still increasing. Okay. Well, we'll follow that. We'll see where it's going to go and like to see what legal outcome there might be. You know, it's not a made-up thing because, as we indicated here, there's strong opinions on both sides from even people we know here on the staff that work over there. And so we'll continue to follow that. Doesn't mean you shouldn't cancel your holiday reservation at Andiamo's, but if they have the picket line still going on, that's your call whether you want to support those people or not.
Mm-hmm. I just want to finish with one thing about this. It says the workers are seeking $125,000 in damages, mm-hmm. and that's for alleged minimum wage violations.
Right, back pay sort of.
Yeah. Back pay. And I would think that would be, as you just said, servers make are required, they require to pay servers less money than minimum wage. And if that is somehow tied in.
Well, not required, but it works out that way because they don't have to pay minimum wage.
Right, they're not required to pay
a wage person. No, they're not required.
There's a different minimum wage.
Right.
I do know that.
There
okay,
is, yeah.
And if that is all tied in together, you know, there have been a lot of people for a long time that have been trying to get the server's minimum wage up, and they said that the only way to do this is in a model like this, where they're going after a particular company with a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
It's, that for me is the bigger picture and more interesting than the short term of these seven people, you know?
Yeah. I'll also remember that they have a lot of part-time people working like 30 hours a week when they're working. And they, of course, even if there was a union, they wouldn't be part of it.
Right.
Although we now have an adjunct faculty union here at the college, which means our part-time instructors are now part of a union. And they have a contract. And people have to pay dues if they want to work here as part-time teachers. But at least they have some legal group, some officially designated legal group to work out grievances.
Right.
A process, mm-hmm. you know, and that union, if they chose to, could get lawyers and could sue the administration if they wanted to, just like our full-time teachers union could do that. I think you need legal representation if a problem results and you can't just work it out with your boss directly.
You know, when you first brought up unions and restaurants, I dismissed it completely and immediately, and I was wrong to do that because I do know that friends that work at country clubs, they're all in a union.
Mm.
And the turnover is a fraction of what it is at normal restaurants, at regular restaurants. The people are taken care of. The bartenders are part of that union. And you're right. It's a strong union, and they make a little bit more money. Is that a reflection of the money that the revenue that the clubs bring in?
Well, we know that in higher education, a full-time person, even though they cost money, is better for the college, maybe better for the students. They're around campus more. Mm-hmm. They have regular office hours. Part-time faculty doesn't have any required office hours, mainly because they don't pay them to be around the campus. They pay them per hour to be in the classroom, but they don't pay. And although some do spend extra time just for the good of their students. So a full-time teacher is also involved in committee work and maybe planting trees in the courtyard, just things that you, a lot more things go on with full-time employees. And usually those people, if they are full-time and they got that health insurance and other benefits secure, they're going to be better employees. They're going to show up for work more often. And even though they have some sick days they could take, they're going to go way beyond their wages. In fact, a number of hours they put in. I know when I was full-time, and I'm maybe the exception, but I was here about 50 to 60 hours a week.
Right.
You know, and I wasn't being paid for that, even though I was being paid well, if you add in the health benefits and so on. I think that full-time employees are the way to go. And I really think if you look at a careful big picture cost estimate for many businesses, full-time would pay you back in the long run. Well, okay, for the consistency, the dependability, the professionalism. Customers come in and see this. It looks like Adria Appliance, mm-hmm. You know, when they had salespeople over there when they survived before they closed. They had people that weren't even on commission. They got a salary, mm-hmm. a set salary. So they could be honest with the customers about what's the best thing to buy.
That's wonderful.
Imagine. And they didn't have to push. They didn't have to shove or convince them to go one way or the other. Plus, since they were full-time on staff people, you come in and ask for Bob or Jim or Martha. They were there. And I said, well, Martha says, well, how did that vacuum cleaner work out? Oh, well, maybe you need a new bag or something. We've got, you know, I mean, you get that personal relationship.
And more of a sense of community.
And of course, it was a local business, too. I mean, right. Just one location.
For how many years? Dearborn.
Well, since the late 40s. Yeah, early 50s.
Didn't they move into a bigger store, or did they just
No,
expand?
They just kept expanding in their location until they finally, after years of wanting to take over the drugstore on the corner, which is part of the same physical building, the guy wouldn't sell. Finally, he sold.
Oh, no.
And that was only like a couple of years before they closed. Mm-hmm. But it was Mr. Adre's goal to buy the whole block and just have the whole darn thing himself. And they got that far. But then, you can't compete with the so-called big box stores and their prices. Plus, not the greatest location. They had a plan that their last general manager had to move them to the Allen Park strip malls, shopping centers, the new ones, whatever they're called, Fairlane something or other.
The green.
There's two or three strips mm-hmm. of malls there.
The Hill and the Green, yeah.
Yeah. And they were going to have a nice location. So location wouldn't have been the issue. They still would have been competing with prices.
Right.
You know, nonetheless, they're gone. So, oh well. Shame on all of you for not shopping there in the last couple of years.
I did.
Okay,
I did too. Running to Walmart instead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But don't get me started on Walmart.
We have, what was the story number three we wanted to cover here?
Mr. Newman.
45-2, yes, the Newman story. Amy, did you want to, do you have that in front of you?
No, I've got the Festival of Trees.
Oh.
But you're more versed with the Newman properties, but the continuing struggle to fill the vacancies there. And what's going on?
I mean, yeah.
Specifically in the areas in West Dearborn where Inca Computers and Pier 1 used to be right over. What's over there now? I think Bellacino's, and that's it, right? Michael's is gone. There might be a CVS.
You're right.
There's
a Bellacino's in that shopping center there. But, of course, Tenney Street Roadhouse is not part of the same shopping center.
Right,
but
next to it, though. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And Mr. Newman owned all those properties.
Right down Newman Street.
Down Newman Street. And it seems that, isn't there a photographer there on Newman Street? I think there is.
There used to be. There was even a clock store in that little shopping center. There were a little strip mall that I think Newman owned that too. Well, he owns a lot of property in West Dearborn. And this store, this story, all we really wanted to say, folks, is he's struggling. But, you know, if I was a reporter, I would ask him the terrible question, well, have you reduced your rents, your lease prices any to try to get people to move in? You know, that would be better for the community. That would generate tax dollars for the city. That would allow other stores in those malls not to go belly up because you'd have more traffic that would stay there and shop at more than one store. I don't know what Mr. Newman's answer would be, but I've heard rumors that he is not dropped his lease prices any. which is what caused the owners or the lessees of Tenney Street Roadhouse to move out. And I've mentioned this on the show before, never been refuted by Mr. Newman. And Mr. Newman, come on and tell me that they that he had been raising the rent to them and was up to $3,000 a month, which I happened to cross compare with a jazz venue in New York City in Greenwich Village, which was $3,000 a month. And West Dearborn, as I've said before, is not New York City. Real estate is not Greenwich Village. There is no reason in the world, unless you're just greedy, I'm sorry, Mr. Newman, tell me your response, unless you're just greedy, why you would charge $3,000 for that location. And then to put that little clause in the contract saying that any code requirements or building maintenance is the responsibility of the lessee. They had to, those owners, those lessees had to put in $40,000 to upgrade the air conditioning. And most, and I can't speak as a lawyer here, but I am told that most landlord situations would pay for those upgrades, maintenance of the property. Like if you own an apartment, okay, building, and your tenants say, the plumbing's not working. You don't make the apartment renters pay for that.
Well, they may try. It's up to me whether I sign the lease.
Exactly.
And I think that's where you're
and
going.
Yeah, in general, it's hard to believe somebody would get into a lease situation without having an attorney review these. I mean, I think the it's rather shameful to include those things into a lease. It really is. But
they signed it. I know. Yeah.
Yes, they signed it, and it's like signing for a mortgage you can't afford. Could you read it? Could you get an attorney? I mean, you have some basic due diligence, and you have some basic sort of self,
I do blame, and this is under Guido's administration and the previous Dearborn Building and Safety Department, which has now been broken up into three parts, and several people have now given evidence. They admit that they were taking bribes for years. A second person has just appeared in court, apparently, FBI probes over the last couple of years. So it was not being run very well, but the city actually cracked down and forced, within 2 or 3 months, forced, in this case, the lessees of Tenney Street Roadhouse to put $40,000 into new air conditioning and ventilating. Support. It'd been operating for 3 years. It's not like anybody complained about the smell or the stink or the health hazard or they were suffocating or anything. And the city demanded it in 3 months.
Yeah, it drives business away.
And the business owners, they did raise the money. They did make the changes. But then there, it was a slow business period was just beginning at that point. And so they weren't making the same amount of income. And they couldn't bring in the same big name acts. They were bringing in nationally known performers there, mm-hmm. as well as many local performers, and doing benefits for the schools and for our WHFR that made us a lot of money. And so I love the people that were handling the lease. Maybe their attorney didn't see that little small point about this. But the city, couldn't they have split that up into monthly payments for 10 years or something? I mean, why did they demand it so quick, so suddenly, especially knowing what it would do? It probably forced the closing,
Is this better as a write-off, having it empty?
Well, I can't see that. I do know that very rich people, and I'm going to refer to Sumner Redstone. Sumner owns Viacom, which is the biggest media company, I think, in the U.S., maybe NBC Universal, or that's owned by Viacom. Anyway, Sumner is a multi billionaire, one of the richest people in the world, and he's 80 plus years old, and he's not Rupert Murdoch, but he's very influential, and he's expressed his business model, which is used for years. He buys a business, and then he starts raising the prices on the products. When customers start declining, he'll sell the business and buy another one. So in other words, he destroys the customer, he destroys the business, and moves on, always making a profit in the good economic times anyway, mm-hmm. where profit, building and potential retail is always going up. And I think I can understand that. If you are rich, you can just wait until you get your price. But it hurts the city. And I've spoken to several people in the city of Dearborn today, elected representatives, and I won't mention their names right now, but they have told me off the record that they wish they could do something. to maybe work out lower rents, lower lease prices to get more businesses in there. It would be good for everybody.
Right.
Because it's not just Mr. Newman. If in fact that's the case here,
yeah,
it wouldn't be just him. It's an epidemic.
Right.
There's other things where
Absolutely.
We all hear
yeah.
from other business owners
right.
that are leaving.
Yeah.
Left
I right. mean, it's his property, and right now he can do with it as he wants to.
Sure.
He wants to leave it vacant. We're just saying the city of Dearborn and certain elected representatives think he's making a bad choice for the city. He's not doing his civic duty there, getting that property back in a useful situation. You know, I'm just saying, and I started with this, and I'll just end with this. If I was the reporter, I'd ask the hard question of Mr. Newman. Maybe he would not say it's private, and I won't tell you. Maybe he would respond that way, but ask the question. Have you lowered your lease rates, your monthly lease rates from 3 years ago on these properties in order to try to make a sale?
It's possible that that's what he was alluding to here when the reporter says, if something doesn't happen soon, Newman said he might be forced to explore other alternatives,
yeah.
although he declined to elaborate on what those alternatives might be.
Yeah, well, it's gone on so long. It's great that he's so rich that he doesn't have to explore alternatives before now.
Right.
Tenney Street's been gone 4 or 5 years at least.
And Inca longer than that.
About 10 years?
Sure.
I mean,
Pier 1, same thing.
Good for him. He's going to have a happy holiday because he doesn't need to explore those alternatives for 10 years, I guess. But for the good of the community, we wish the city could do something. But as I said they can't. The city was partly responsible for the Tenney Street fiasco by demanding that that building upgrade be done. Especially since they must have known that it was the lessee's responsibility, and that chunk of change from the people leasing the place, it's not easy to come by. But no negotiations, no exceptions. Hopefully we have a different building and safety department now, or three departments anyway. So what else can we look at here? We have another Jim Hightower comment, but it's about organic food again, so we can forget about that.
Oh, I was looking forward to that.
Were you really?
Sounds yummy.
Well, we only have 6 minutes to go.
Greens not in a bag.
We have covered a lot, but let's talk about the other events that are that people could do for a holiday spirit and having fun with the family. Amy, the big Festival of Trees. This is the last weekend, last 3 days, folks.
It's all the time we have.
Festival of Trees, and I'll mention right off the bat. It's going on today, up till 7 o'clock. Saturday, 10 to 7. Sunday, 10 to 4. And it's the 25th Festival of Trees, and it is at the Allen Park Municipal Auditorium on Southfield Road. It's also a fundraiser for Children's Hospital of Michigan, their Evergreen Endowment Fund. It's their 25th year. It's really a beautiful event to go down. You know, you can take the family. The trees are gorgeous. It's a lot of fun. It's, you know, a nice taste the holidays before they're right on us.
Relatives of mine, including my granddaughter, just went down there 2 days ago, and there's so much to do for the kids. There's little games, there's little crafts. It's more than just trees and lights. And in fact, there's a bunch of related events, and they're all trying to raise money for Children's Hospital. So it's really a worthy activity. Let's see here. Tomorrow night, they're hosting the Festival of Trees Holiday Dance Party from 8 to 11:59 p.m. Why not midnight?
Well,
all those people will turn
legal.
Into a pumpkin.
Could be.
Probably legal,
yeah.
That they have to close the place or they have to pay
yes.
overtime to the maintenance people. Tickets are $15 per person, a disc jockey,
that's
an auction. There's a sweep. You can buy sweepstakes tickets for things, even if you're not there for the holiday dance party, as at the Festival of Trees, the Allen Park Municipal Building. Also, they have a downtown Detroit Festival of Trees store in the CompuWare Building. Anybody ever been to the CompuWare Building in downtown Detroit, One Campus Martius?
Is it by the hospital?
Campus Martius, downtown.
Skating rink?
No.
Well, you see, folks, we're in the suburbs here, and we don't get downtown.
I've been
much,
to the skating
so.
Rink.
Oh, at Hart Plaza?
No, Campus Martius.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but well, anyway, there is that store down there. They're selling a special $50 friendship ornament. Every year, a different artist creates one for the Festival of Trees.
Oh, nice.
And to help benefit the event. And this year's ornament was made by Baron Glassworks of Ypsilanti. Ypsilanti. And so you could probably buy that at the festival this weekend, as well as at that store through December 18th. That's if you're downtown in the CompuWare building at the former Borders store, One Campus Martius. I don't even know they had a Borders store down in downtown.
Got to get out more.
Must have closed.
It's right by, no, it's gorgeous. It's by the Hard Rock Cafe.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Beautiful.
Oh, well. So there was a big story in last Sunday's Press and Guide about the 25th Festival of Trees and personal testimony here. There are 64 foot and 7 foot trees and a display of more than 200 2 foot trees for sale, even. And just a lot of stuff going on. So get down there with the family. Have a great time to benefit the Children's Hospital of Michigan. Okay, just a couple of minutes left. What else do we want to say? Oh, it's traditional in the city of Dearborn and Dearborn Heights that they're going to light the tree by the city hall in both those places, and that's December 1st, the evening, this coming Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So, call the city, find out when that is. They usually sing carols, and, so...
It's another nice family event.
Yeah, it's no more than an hour,
and yeah.
Hopefully it won't be too cold out there. Tuesday, also December 1st, is during the day a special AIDS Day luncheon at University of Michigan Dearborn. Now, you'll have to look in the paper and the Press and Guide from Wednesday to get the reservation number. You have to call for reservations, even though it's free. They're going to have a speaker. It's AIDS Awareness Day. Okay? It's not a day to celebrate AIDS, folks. It's a day to understand it's still a problem for all kinds of groups. It's sponsored by their what's equivalent of our Focus on Women program. But several other groups on campus, gay rights and other groups, are together in supporting that. So it's a free lunch at U of MD on Tuesday from noon to 1:30, but you got to call ahead and you get a great discussion from a local AIDS activist, to let you know more about the status of that terrible, terrible epidemic or pandemic, in fact. Dearborn Historical Museum open house December 4th. We mentioned it a couple weeks ago. We believe that's next Friday. So check also the last Wednesday's Dearborn Press and Guide or call the Dearborn Historical Museum. It's the Victorian open house. They got it all decorated, very pretty, and helps raise money for the Historical Museum. Well, I guess that's all we have now for today. Got to say bye-bye, Amy.
I will not be shopping today.
That's the spirit. I've already shopped online earlier, but
earlier today?
No, not today.
Okay, never that's good to hear. Today.
There's a really good chance you're not going to hear me say I've been shopping. Yeah. At
there's
all.
A good chance. So, I'm really not.
As
a
long
shopper.
As you know me,
I'm not into shopping.
Right.
Just a final comment and we don't have any more time, but and the podcast is going to stop recording briefly. But we were talking earlier, Dennis, Amy, and myself, about the fact that all these online retailers, unless they have a store, storefront in the state, they can avoid charging the state sales tax. And the states are losing a ton of money that way. Amazon.com was under pressure from a new New York state law saying that anybody in New York that you sell to, you've got to pay us our sales tax. And in the New York Supreme Court, when Amazon challenged that, Amazon.com lost. So it might start a trend of demanding all these retailers to pay the sales tax to help to support the states. They need that revenue, certainly. And if you're going to buy these products, you really should pay the sales tax. I don't offer it up front myself, and I feel a little guilty about that. But that's an editorial in today's New York Times, by the way, folks, about the online shopping sales tax dilemma. All right, bye for now. And we're going to start with the Highway 61 theme. Joanne Korczynska, The Best in Blues, coming up here on WHFR.FM, WHFR Dearborn, station making waves.
Have a safe weekend.
Happy holidays.